This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only nationally syndicated golf talk radio and television program. Presented by Acura, proud presenting sponsor of major golf broadcasts in Canada. Visit Acura.ca for the all-new 2016 lineup and latest dealer incentives. Here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Jim Taddy.
Welcome to the season premiere, six-season launch of Golf Talk Canada and TSN Radio. Jim Taddy here, and in Orlando, Florida, Mark Sacchino at the PGA Merchandise Show. Marco, how are you?
James, I miss you. I used to see me on Saturday mornings. It was really awkward at home. I'd force Heather to sit at the table beside me in the kitchen, and I would force her to give me golf opinions that were just really offside. I didn't realize how intelligent your golf opinions really are until I tried to do this with Heather for the last 6-7 weeks.
So. I'm sure Winners Weird and What was interesting.
It got physical. There were frying pans involved. It was not good.
Oh, another show. Good. What's going on?
Season six. Unbelievable. Where did the time go? I don't know. It just feels like one big long season, but it was good. Did you enjoy some time off?
Yes, I did.
Lots happened.
Yeah, I did.
Lots happened in the world of golf.
Absolutely. Tons going on, even as we speak. Phil Mickelson grounded out yesterday, and we'll get into that as we develop our storylines. But, the golf's fast and furious, isn't it?
It certainly is, and good vibe down here for the PGA show. So, you know, I've been in Orlando for the 63rd PGA Merchandise Show, and the energy seems good. People, you know, thinking that the game's going to grow and we're in for a good 2016. I know there is some concern amongst some of the U.S. travel destinations that rely on Canadian traffic.
Yeah.
That this dollar situation is going to hurt them, and I'm sure it will. So it's going to be interesting to keep an eye on that. But in general, pretty positive, pretty busy down here. Lots of people. It poured rain for the first few days of the show, and that's a blessing in disguise. Because when you put thousands of golf pros in one location, most of which have come from winter destinations where there is snow and ice on the ground, and you drag them to Orlando and then tell them that they have to sit inside for 3 days, normally that doesn't go too well. But it's been pouring rain, so the show's been absolutely rammed. So, you know, the golf courses have been empty, so that's good for the show. And it was fun, and now that's it. Show's over. Kick off season six with you, and then yours truly is off to a pretty exciting day that I'll get into you later on in the show.
You said that thing's been going on for 63 years?
63 years. PGA of America launched it 63 years ago, and back in the day, Jim, before every golf manufacturer on the planet had a head office in Canada and a head office here and a head office there, and a million reps on the ground that can get out and see everybody 12 months a year. This was the spot to do your business. You came here and you ordered your clubs and you ordered your soft goods for the year. And there was a ton of business being written at this show. Now, are people still ordering stuff and buying? Sure they are, but they're doing a ton of it in the fall. They're doing a ton of it with their local reps. And this show right now is just as much about shaking hands, kissing babies, networking, the media hype around this thing now. You know, Golf Channel's been broadcasting from here for the last 3-4 days. So it's turned into a different animal. But, yeah, 63 years ago, it was that simple. Come here and stock your pro shop for the upcoming season.
Let me ask you a quick question before we move along with the regular lineup here that you've created for us. A lot of product is launched in the fall. Why do they do that?
You know, it's an interesting question, James, because it's like it's almost like they're certain companies are trying to create a different season, a secondary season in a way, and maybe get ahead of the curve and get ahead of the mix. What happened was, used to come down here at this time, everybody launches their product at once, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you're launching your brand new product along with your 12 top competitors, it kind of gets lost a little in the mix. You launch it in the fall, away from everybody else, in time for Christmas season. I think it's more of a retail ploy than anything else, and a media ploy. The problem with that is, I think that only lasts, you know, so long. Now everybody is launching fall, and everybody's launching January. So the element of surprise has kind of gone out the window on that one, James.
All right, let's get into news and headlines. We welcome a new sponsor.
News and Headlines is brought to you by Golftown, with 55 stores coast to coast. Golftown is Canada's golf superstore. Visit golftown.com for store specials and locations near you. Golftown, anything for golf.
This weekend, all online orders over $150 qualify for free shipping. Visit golftown.com for more details. So, first headline, Spieth goes low at the Hyundai.
Well, Jim, 30 under par, one off the record on the PGA Tour. And I guess, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. I guess 2016 is going to be more of the Jordan Spieth show. Incredible performance. I don't know if you had a chance to watch much of it. You know, it goes in prime time against some pretty big other sports that time of year. But I think it's pretty special to kind of make that statement right out of the gate in 2016 to say, hey, you know, I'm number one. I was number one for a reason, and I know you. There's a lot of you gunning for me in 2016, but you better be ready. You better be ready to go. 30 under par, absolutely insane.
Yeah, it sets up a lot of questions as to, you know, how high he can go this year in terms of tournament wins.
Well, that's a question. You know, like, we're talking down here. There's been a lot of conversation, and he comes out of the gates last year, 5 wins, 2 majors. So does that mean if he wins 3 times this year, it's a bad season? You know, is that a failure for a guy who's 22 years old? But I hate to say it, he has already raised the bar of expectations so high that if he doesn't have a major and at least 3 wins on the PGA Tour, especially one coming this early now, if he doesn't have a major and 3 wins, people are going to say, oh, that was a lost season for Jordan Spieth, like they did with Rory last year.
Yeah, the expectations are a little out of whack, but I'm sure we'll be pleasantly surprised and pleased with what he does anyway. Fowler wins at Abu Dhabi.
Well, this is the hats off Jim Taddy call, right? Because I've been calling it the big three, and it is the big three. But you said to me one of your predictions for 2016, James, was that it was going to be a big four.
Yeah.
Ricky Fowler was going to kick it up a gear, and Ricky Fowler was going to join this club and make it a big four. And he starts off with a big win on the European Tour in the desert and moves to number 4 in the world. So, you know, technically speaking, you know, he is now part of, you know, the big four, being top 4 in the world. But I think you're right. I think it's moving in that direction. You know, let's see now if he can take that next step, because all those other guys have majors under their belts. Now, Ricky Fowler has the next best thing. He won the Players' Championship. If you can win the Players' Championship, you know, they call it the fifth major, and they do it for a reason. It's the best field in golf on golf's greatest stadium. So if he's been able to, you know, find something there at that Players' Championship victory, which I think we did, I think he found something. I think maybe you're right. Maybe he officially makes it a big four this year.
Yeah, I think he had us at the 3 tee shots in 17.
Well, that was, you get around that corner of that golf course, and like you mentioned, on 17, and to go around there like that, you know, that way, when the tournament's on the line, I think you find, maybe you learn a little something about yourself the rest of the way. Especially, you know, we forget, you know, he's been out there a while. He's only 26 years old. So
yeah,
this is not an old man. I think he actually just turned 27.
Now, I'm going to get into this with my winners, weird and what. But Phil Mickelson, Thursday, was showing signs of life. Yesterday, not so much. Missed the cut.
Yes, and I'll get into this a little bit as well with you, because I know it's in your winners, weird and what. But there's a new coach, which I know we'll get into, so we won't jump into that. He had a good start at the Career Builder Challenge in partnership with the Clinton Foundation last week, which is, of course, the Bob Hope. And he was showing some real signs of life, and then he comes to Torrey Pines. He played well yesterday and then collapsed down the stretch, ends up shooting his highest round ever at Torrey Pines. So let's leave it at that, because I know you've got a fairly strong opinion on this one later in Winners Where to What.
Yeah, pleasantly surprised with Jason Duffner last weekend.
Hey, Duff, first win. Do you believe, Jim, that was his first win?
Stunning.
Since the 2013 PGA Championship. I had no idea. I knew he was struggling, but somewhere in my memory bank, I thought he won along the way. It never happened. So Jason Duffner, I think that's a good news story. I think Jason Duffner is a really well-liked guy on and off the golf course by his peers, by the media, by the fans. We all know he went through a very public divorce recently. We all know what that can do to people. I think this is a good news story, and congratulations to Jason Duffner for getting back in the winner's circle.
Yeah, so many times when somebody wins a major, everybody goes, well, now he's on to bigger and better things, and it just doesn't track like that all the time. In fact, only for the elite of the game does it track that way.
Yeah, well, and that's like a great point, but that's our fault. You know, it's the media's fault for applying that kind of pressure because, you know, some guys, you know, when Jordan Spieth does it, yeah, that's what's going to happen. Here we go, or Rory McIlroy. But those are the elite of the elite. For a lot of guys that have very long careers on the PGA Tour and play, you know, exceptional golf, that major is going to be the highlight of their career. It's going to be the peak of the mountain. And for a lot of guys, like Bubba Watson is very, you know, outspoken about the fact that everything in his career that he does moving forward is complete gravy for him, because in his mind, he never thought he'd ever win a green jacket. He thought he would never win a major. And to be sitting here with two Masters now and all these wins, he considers the rest of his career gravy. So you don't know how players think between the years. And for some of these guys, Jason Duffner, well, what a win at the PGA to do it on that golf course in Rochester a few years back, and now come back with a bounce back win. Fantastic.
Now, far be it from me to talk about television, but Fox says out to Greg Norman and into Paul Azinger.
Well, you and I both agreed that neither one of us liked the Fox broadcast.
Yeah.
And you know, we're not alone.
Greg Norman was the least of the offenders in my books.
Thank you. That's where I was going with this. You know, Greg Norman has not made a ton of friends over the years along the way for being outspoken and having some strong opinions. But let's not forget that Greg Norman did a lot for the game of golf, and he was the most popular. Before Tiger Woods came along, Greg Norman was the guy who, you know, stirred the drink. He was the straw. He was the biggest name in the game in the mid-90s, early 90s. He was the man. And, you know, they bring him into this Fox broadcast. I think they thought they were going to get a new Johnny Miller, and they did it. They got a Greg Norman who was a little softer in his opinions, a little softer because maybe it was his first time out, first circus or first rodeo behind the mic, so to speak. And, you know, he was a little more fair in his opinions of calling golf on what was a brutally difficult and tricked up golf course. So I think we have to take that into consideration. But I agree with you, Jim. If there was one thing in the broadcast that I would have said, you know, this deserves a second chance, it would have been Norman and Joe Buck, minus Joe Buck's question of Jordan Spieth on the 72nd green. You and I both thought that was didn't have a lot of class. But those two, I thought that were the least offenders. And here we go, out with Norman. And if you want a strong opinion that's going to irritate a lot of people, you just found it by bringing in Paul Azinger.
Yeah, I might have been more concerned about how the tournament was shot, but that's just me. But anyway, we'll step out. When we come back, we'll return to the PGA Merchandise Show in Orlando with Mark Sacchino. This is Golf Talk Canada. Stay with us.
This segment of Golf Talk Canada was brought to you by Acura, proud presenting sponsor of major golf broadcasts in Canada. Visit Acura.ca for the all-new 2016 lineup and latest dealer incentives. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment brought to you by Horizons Exchange Traded Funds. Innovation is our capital. Make it yours. Visit horizonsetfs.com for more information. Here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Jim Taddy.
Welcome back. Segment number two, Golf Talk Canada season launch, sixth season here at Golf Talk Canada. Wow. Jim Taddy in studio, Mark Sacchino live from Orlando, PGA Merchandise Show, clearing his throat. Everything's okay now.
Oh, yeah, it's okay. These mobile setups, you know, we don't have those off switches like we have in the studio. So it become challenging when you've been talking on a dry floor in a, you know, these conventions, you know, the number one survival kit item for a convention like this is you need water and chapstick. My lips are falling off. I think they're actually, as I talk, I can see them shredding on the floor here.
Bit of a visual, but anyway. All right. Take us through the highlights of the PGA Merchandise Show.
Obviously, for you and I, Jim, being, you know, two big TaylorMade guys, I was in Carlsbad, California, a few weeks ago at the TaylorMade Kingdom. And I've never been there before, and they gave us a very limited behind-the-scenes look at the new M2. Now, the M2 is in the marketplace now to replace what was the Aero Burner. So this is now the sister driver to the M1, and they've launched it to the public here, Woods Irons driver. Now, it's not to replace the M1. That seems to be the big confusion out there in the golf retail space. This is about $100 less in terms of price point. And what they've done is they've taken the M1 and they've kind of taken out a lot of the adjustability. And when you add that adjustability, you add some weight to the head. You know, the fact that you and I can move weights around.
Yeah.
Has the loft hosel where you can go up and down 2 degrees in terms of your loft on the hosel. And in fact, the M2 driver still has a loft hosel, but the weight tracking system's gone on the back. And they took that weight and they redistributed elsewhere in the head to make the sweet spot larger and to make the actual overall speed of the face of this club a little hotter. So this, again, all about distance really in this M2, distance and forgiveness. If you're looking for the personalization in a driver that I look for, you're going to want the M1 still. It is still the king of the castle. It'll still be the number one driver on the PGA Tour. In fact, M1 has been the number one driver on the PGA Tour since the week it launched back in the fall. So, and that streak still continues. But this M2 product, I think you're going to see fairway woods, a ton of fairway woods in the bag, and the irons. The irons look great. I hit the irons. They're absolute hand cannons. TaylorMade's claiming that they're the longest irons they've ever made, and that could be the case. I got to be honest with you. It was I hit them down there at the Kingdom, and that 5-iron flies like a 7-iron in terms of the height, and it just stays there, and it hangs there forever. So going to be an interesting product launch. I think they're going to do very, very well with the fairway woods and the irons, and I think the driver is going to be a real nice complement to the M1 family.
Well, you know, your 5-iron flew like my 3-wood. So how far do you hit the 5-iron?
Well, they were claiming, and I don't see why they're not going to lie to me because it was right there in black and white. But when we were down on the TrackMan at Carlsbad, it was flying, the 5-iron was flying 11 yards further than my current 5-iron, which would mean, you know, it's pretty much an entire club longer. So that 5-iron was flying like, you know, almost like a 4-iron. So
yeah, come on, give us the distance, 11 yards, come on.
Total length was on, and these are just average.
Oh, boy, you don't want to say it, do you?
Well, no, I guess because it's stupid long. It was, you know, my usual 5-iron carries about somewhere between 199 and 202 yards off the deck. And this was carrying about 210, 211 off the deck.
All right, show's over. Goodbye.
Wow. Thank you for listening to Season 6.
That's right. Season 6 is now over. It went fast. You belt the 5-iron that far?
Well, I got to tell you, I'll tell you a quick story about being there. So I'm hitting drivers as well, and I'm not having much success with the M2. And it's not the product, it's me. I need to build an anti-hook golf club, which is why I'm in love with the M1. You know, I push all the weight to the toe to go maximum fade. I open the face by dialing the loft from 10.5 to 8.5. And being a lefty, I don't worry now about the right side of the golf course. I don't hook my driver. I hit the thing dead straight. So I'm up there with the M2, and I'm hitting big high draws. Now, they're going a long way, but these things are just turning over hard left to right. So I'm sitting there with the guy who's fitting me. I forget his name. Great guy. All the guys down there are superb in what they do and what they know about fitting. And he says, "You see that road?" I'm like, "What road are you talking about?" He's pointing at the road that is beyond the driving range. Now, the driving range is 300 yards in length, and there is a net, like a 20 or 30-foot net at the end of a 300-yard range. Then there's a road of trees, then there's an actual road itself to exit the Kingdom. It's about 340 to 350 yards away. He says, "Dustin Johnson was here a couple of weeks ago getting fit for an M2, and he was flying golf balls onto the road. And we had to move back and put him in the indoor part of the Kingdom, which is like 50, 60 yards behind me to keep his balls in the range." I got so depressed when they told me that. I was wow. like, I'd like to start hitting irons now and give you back this driver.
So what do you figure his distance was? Was it like 360, 370?
Well, yeah, he must have been flying the golf ball 340 plus, flying the golf ball, 340 to 350, aerial yards. So, incredible, stupid amount of distance. And I know, you know, for a fact that the driver that these guys play on the PGA Tour, the one they put into play, is not necessarily, and more often than not, sometimes isn't the club they can hit the farthest. It's the club that they maximize their distance with at the same point maximizing their accuracy. You know, Dustin Johnson, for a guy who hits the ball a very long way, is also a very straight driver of the golf ball. You know, he's straighter from 350 yards than he is from 3 feet uphill to win a major.
Yeah. Okay? Yes, so, guy.
So, you know, I know that some of those clubs that he was testing down there, that he could probably squeeze, you know, 15 to 10 yards more out of a driver if he gave up, you know, some accuracy and control. So those guys, you know, they're playing the game for a living. They need the best of both worlds. So I'm sure when they get down there and get into the lab and get into the kingdom and start to do some fitting and playing around with what they can do with golf balls and drivers and matching numbers, they could probably find some real just obscene amounts of distance with the science behind all of this these days.
Wow. That's impressive. What else?
What, that I know that science?
No, just that, you know, you when you watch them play, you figure, and we know this because we were feet away from Dustin Johnson at the Summit two or three years ago. I mean, it's not a full torque. It's a controlled torque.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, he's telling us there that he's swinging at about 80%, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He gets down there and starts trying out golf clubs and having fun and starts swinging at 100%, and they're toying around with the numbers. God knows how far he can hit these things. But,
well,
yeah, it's not.
You remember, you remember the commercial he did where he said, that's as far as I could hit it.
Yeah, it's as fast as I can swing, as far as I can hit it. So I got to give a shout-out, James, PGA of America. Every year down at the PGA Merchandise Show, there's a Canada night, and they throw a lovely little cocktail party around 5, 6 o'clock after the show's over, and they invite all the Canadians to come down to this cocktail party. So there's hundreds of Canadians in the room. They don't invite all the Canadians. If they did, there'd be thousands of Canadians at this cocktail party. But it's quite big. A lot of friends of yours and mine in the room, and they hand out their national awards.
Right.
And I want to just congratulate all those award winners. Some of them, are personal friends of mine, like Danny King, who won. This year, he won the player. Not the player of the year. He won for Performance Academy at Magna. Excuse me.
Right.
So, congratulations to Danny. Serge Savard, of course, the Hockey Hall of Famer. I believe 5 or 6 Stanley Cup rings. He got the Distinguished Service Award and spoke that night. So, Leah Mucklow, who's been on our show before, won. Just a shout out to all of them. Congratulations to all the winners, all the work they put in, and hats off to PGA of Canada for continuing the tradition of Canada Night at the PGA of America Merchandise Show.
Well, on that note, we'll take a break. When we come back, the highly anticipated Winners, Weird, and What. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, was brought to you by Horizons Exchange Traded Funds. Innovation is our capital. Make it yours. Visit horizonsetfs.com for more information. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment brought to you by TaylorMade, the number one driver on the PGA Tour, 15 years and counting. Visit TaylorMadeGolf.ca to get custom fit today. Here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Jim Taddy.
Welcome back. Jim Taddy in studio. Mark Sacchino live from the PGA Merchandise Show in Orlando, Florida. Marco, are you ready? You okay, first of all? You sounded a little wasted going into the break.
I'm trying to cover the mic. I'm sorry. I have been on the road for 30 days.
It's biblical.
The absolute crap out of me. And let me tell you something. The last thing you want to do, Jim, when you've been on the road for 30 days, is end it with thousands of golf pros and media friends. Because if you think you're going to get rest and take care of yourself, it's not going to happen. So as you can tell, I need to get home soon before I don't survive this road trip.
All right, here we go. First edition this year of Winners, Weird, and What. I have the tee.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Well, my winner is, we go back to last Sunday, PGA West TPC Stadium, Course La Quinta, California, on 17, Duffner on the rocks. No, that's not a drink. Unbelievable shot. That was an unbelievable. Yeah. So it was a hooded 8-iron. He comes out of the rocks, hits the flag stick, and then goes on to win the tournament. It was a welcome victory for Jason Duffner, as we said. Hadn't won in quite some time.
You got to be good to be lucky, and it's well-deserved. And what a class. And, you know, just as another comment on this, Jim, how good is it to see PGA West Stadium course back in the rotation for the Bob Hope? I remember back in the 80s, they hosted the Skins game there annually on American Thanksgiving. A lot of the pros were not a big fan of TPC Stadium, PGA West Stadium course, excuse me, just like they weren't fans of Sawgrass. And now they love it. I think those courses were, and Pete Dye himself was just so in front of the times. And the world wasn't ready for those golf courses with a lot of golf balls and persimmon woods and forged blades. But the way the game's played now, these courses are perfect for this type of generation of player, and I'm so happy it's back at the Bob Hope Classic.
Yeah, it was an unfortunate fade for Adam Hadwin, but he'll be back, that's for sure. My weird is the swing coach change, and obviously we see it with Phil Mickelson, especially yesterday, had the Tiger Woods look where it just seemed confused on shots that normally he wouldn't have been. Now, I totally understand why people leave a swing coach, and you know why probably Butch Harmon agreed that it was time to part, because I think the message gets a little worn and the results don't show up, and Phil had a rough year last year, and it's time to move on. The problem is that when you go to a new swing coach, then you got to process all that information and try and make it work in the heat of battle. And, boy, it just looks weird, doesn't it?
It certainly does. And at the end of the day, you know, I'm such a big fan of Butch Harmon's, as you are.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the proof's in the pudding. Look at what he's done with guys like, never mind, obviously, what he did with his work with Tiger Woods and other huge names in the game. He worked with Greg Norman back when Greg Norman was at his peak. But, you know, look at what he did with Jimmy Walker's career. Look at what he's doing right now with Ricky Fowler. And you and I are huge Butch fans, and we believe that he belongs right there at number one on that top 100 teachers list. He seems to be there all the time. But he was been with Phil for a while, and I guess the information starts to go a little stale, and you need to hear it, a different way. And I guess it was the time for Phil to make a change. And I'm going to take a different angle on this. I'm going to take the angle that Phil Mickelson's 46 and still has, obviously, a desire to be relevant, compete, win golf tournaments, and make a Ryder Cup team. And if he didn't care, or if he thought his time had passed, or he thought he wasn't capable of competing with Spieth and McIlroy and Day, et cetera, he wouldn't have taken the time to do this, make this move, and work as hard as he did in the offseason. So I think if you're a Phil Mickelson fan, the optics look bad right now. It looks uncomfortable, like what you've outlined, Jim. But maybe this is a good sign that, boy, this guy still wants to be top of the food chain.
Yeah, I get that. It's just it's difficult to watch just because you sort of look for Phil to have the answers. And boy, when you see him chip, that's my what, by the way, the 76 he fired yesterday to miss the cut at the Farmers Insurance Open. When you see the result, that sort of puzzled, it's almost like watching a goaltender doesn't know where the net is. It just does. It looks awful. Well, I was thinking of James Reimer 3 years ago. You know, you'd see a puck go in, and then he's constantly looking behind him to see what his positioning was. That's disturbing to watch.
Do you think? And most of the time he was in the corner, which made it worse. So, you know, and that 76, like you mentioned, highest round he's ever scored at Torrey Pines. And he was inside the cut and I don't want to say be a huge part of the tournament, but you know, at least setting himself up for the weekend, and then goes bogey double, and you know, tournament's over, and Phil will have to wait another week.
Yeah, I just maybe because we saw that with Tiger, now to see Phil go through it, it's a little too much to process, isn't it?
Well, especially because I turned 40 recently. I know what's coming for me, Jim.
Yeah. All right, Marco, you have the tee.
I want you to put your hands together and welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause for Jackson Heights' own Mr. Randy Watson. Yes, Randy Watson.
That boy is good.
Mm-hmm. Good and terrible.
All right, Marco.
Well, Jim, I'm going with an all Spieth edition of Winners Weird and What, and it's been a while, so why not? My winner, Jordan Spieth, starts 2016 the way we ended 2015. I'm the best player in the world. I'm going to win. It's going to be dominant. Watch this performance at the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Just blows the field away, and I think it's going to be a great 2016. My weird is kind of Spieth attached. This new monitoring rule, and this is something we can talk about further. Craig Lochry, our director and head of research and development, which is the lowest paying job in the golf industry, having that role on Golf Talk Canada. Of course, all joking aside, Craig works for Golf Canada and the Golf Association Ontario. And he's been sending me some information on this, and I know this is a topic that he's kind of sensitive about. I'd love to have him on to talk about this. But almost every tour at this point in the world, whether it's if you're being governed by the USGA at the US Open or PGA Tour, European Tour, et cetera, they all have different slow play rules. And I think players are getting flipped around and confused because everybody is ruling slow play differently than the other guy. And of course, now they have a new monitoring rule at the European Tour where you have four, if you're the first player in the group, you have 40 seconds to hit the shot. If you're a second player in the group, you have 30 seconds to hit the shot. And I think common sense has to prevail here, and right now it's not. Jordan Spieth was dinged with a penalty in Abu Dhabi on the European Tour because he went over the 30-second limit. He had hit a shot. At the end of the day, they were keeping up with the group in front of them. They have not fallen a hole behind, and the group behind them had yet to even arrive at their golf balls at the fairway, and he was given a penalty. So all common sense got thrown out the window. The clock went over 30 seconds. He got stuck with a penalty. I don't think that's the way. I agree we need to do something about slow play. I don't think a shot clock like NBA is the way to treat basketball. And my what this week is, I don't know, have you seen Jordan Spieth's schedule, Jim?
No.
This is absolutely insane. I'll give you his quote. I'm very tired. I am. I'm not 100% right now. So it's a bit of a head-scratching quote. Of course you're tired. Take a look at his schedule the last couple of months. South Korea, China, Australia, the Bahamas, Hawaii, and Abu Dhabi. That's where he's been in the last couple of months. So congratulations, Jordan, on trying to be a global star. But come on, kid. You're 22, and you're going to be burnt out by the time we get to the Florida swing. Of course you don't feel good right now. So he needs to take some time off, go home, and relax. That hitting all those continents and countries in that short a time frame, this is supposed to be the off season.
Yeah, but that goes with number one, right? All of a sudden you have to be everywhere.
And then that's it. You know, it's the pressures of being number one, and it's why some guys go to number one for a cup of coffee, never to be seen of again, because they're not ready for what that means. And then there's guys that own it, like Tiger, like Norman, like Spieth. And again, I don't say that Spieth's going to own it in a sense that he'll be there all the time, but he'll always be 1, 2, 3 in the mix because he'll be fighting with McIlroy and Day and potentially Fowler. But this is the kind of guy, the kind of personality to be able to own it and be okay with it. But that schedule, he's got to know when to say, okay, time to turn off and get ready for a big one.
I liked your point about the monitoring. That's to me, it's like the interference in the crease call in hockey. It's just it's so inconsistent, and you're talking about different time frames there. And why would you call it when they were keeping, I guess, the pace of play up with the group in front and were ahead of the group behind? So I just don't understand that. It's like somebody trying to make a name for themselves.
Well, and we've seen so many problems with this over the years. We saw it at the Masters a few years ago.
Yeah.
with the young Chinese star. And, you know, he was playing in a group. His name escapes me at the moment, but he was playing with Ben Crenshaw, who was 28 over par.
Yeah.
And they blocked
Ben,
the violation.
Ben was slow.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Ben should have just stayed home that morning. You know, he probably Ben would be the first one to tell you that. So, you know, they've got to get this right. And more importantly, Jim, I think at the competitive golf level, the professional golf level, the game is a global game now. We need to have a consistent rule that all associations, all governing bodies, all federations agree upon and make that rule consistent. So if you're playing a tournament in Europe or America or Australia, it's a major, it's not, whatever it is, you know the slope play rule. And it doesn't have to be like changed every time you land in a new country.
I think what they should do is put clocks at various parts or movable clocks. Somebody like the guy carrying the leaderboard, and an alarm goes off when you've gone over your time.
I think
I'm just kidding.
They should just make. I know. I was just going to follow it up with. I think they should make you and I in charge of everything golf.
Yeah, well, that's what I. That would solve everything.
That's right, and we wouldn't have to worry about any of this any longer.
That's just silly stuff. Going to step out. Up next, they're going to deal with Adidas footwear. Maybe you could set this up for us, Marco.
Yes, Mason Dennison, who was in Toronto for the Adidas footwear launch back before Christmas, is down here. And there are some great products. I got a chance to speak with him at the Pavilion. And there's going to be one Adidas shoe coming out this year, Jim, that you are going to be all over. I know I'm all over it. I think you're going to love it. And it's a bit of a departure for Adidas in the sense they have not had a shoe like this in quite some time. So we can get into that next.
Okay, that is exactly where we're going. This is Golf Talk Canada.
The Golf Talk Canada Tip of the Day. Brought to you by Peak Performance Golf, Canada's premier game improvement facility.
Hi, this is Ryan Ollie with Peak Performance Golf. Young golfers are currently dominating golf. It's happening on both the LPGA and PGA Tour. Jordan Spieth is the number one ranked player on the PGA Tour at age 22, and Lydia Ko is ranked number one amongst women at the astonishing age of 18. Up until recently, kids were encouraged to train for golf specifically and avoid other sports. The belief was that specializing in a single sport at a young age would yield faster and greater results. Specialization or focusing on a single sport can certainly bring great results, but kids who focus solely on one sport often create imbalances in their bodies, leaving them vulnerable to injuries. They often suffer from burnout from overtraining, and their total athletic development can be stunted. As children, both Jordan and Lydia went against this trend and are seeing unbelievable results. Instead of training kids as golfers, Peak Performance believes that kids should train and play just like Jordan and Lydia did. If you have a young golfer in your life, have them experience as many sports as they can and have them learn to use their bodies in a variety of ways. Kicking, throwing, jumping, or just about any other athletic movement will be beneficial for their development and ensure that they have fun while learning to be an athlete. For more information on our junior programs or about our summer athletic development camps, please visit our website at peakperformgolf.com.
The Golf Talk Canada Tip of the Day. Brought to you by Peak Performance Golf, Canada's premier game improvement facility and leader in instruction, fitness, and custom club fitting. Visit peakperformgolf.com for more information.
This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, was brought to you by TaylorMade, the number one driver on the PGA Tour, 15 years and counting. Visit TaylorMadeGolf.ca to get custom fit today. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit floor liners, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit WeatherTech.ca. Here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Jim Taddy.
Welcome back. Going to talk shoes now, and it doesn't seem that long ago that we had metal spikes and leather uppers, and now very comfortable shoes. I mean, what's happened here is just remarkable. This is Mason Dennison from Adidas Footwear in conversation with Mark Sacchino.
All right, Mason. So we did this. Was it December or November where we launched this shoe in Canada?
Time flies. It's a couple months ago. I think it was December, though.
December.
Yeah.
A great night in downtown T-Dot with the Canadian launch of the Tour Boost 360 Tour Boost. So just to refresh our listeners' memories on this shoe, I described the 360 Tour Boost as the best of both worlds because I was a Tour 360 guy forever, but last year I was a bit, I guess, spoiled with the Boost, and I abused them. I wore them all the time and didn't have the normal rotation. I got the best of the both worlds now in this new shoe.
You do, and that was kind of the goal here is, you know, Tour 360 launched 10 years ago, and we've sold over 2 million pairs. And we knew if we brought Tour 360 back, because we kind of went away from it for a couple years as a focus point, but everywhere I went, people were saying, I'm a 360 guy. When are you going to bring that shoe back? Well, with Boost being such a success in terms of technology in 2015 for us, we knew if we took Tour 360, brought it back in a new way, and put Boost technology in it, it was basically this perfect recipe, perfect storm for success in the golf footwear market, and we're pretty happy with how it turned out.
And so far, so good, and I love the original introduction colors with the red trim on the black and white. It's Golf Talk Canada colors as well, so works perfect as a TaylorMade and Adidas ambassador in Canada. I get to go with that, so that's classic, but I'm seeing here now all the different color combos available.
We really went deep on color. I mean, color's personal. There's certain people, they have sports teams they love, and for us, the white, black, red was really important because 10 years ago, that was the color we launched. So it was a little cue back to the original.
Yeah.
Just a little cue, and then we offered up some new colors. Yep. So you got to have your basics. You got to have pop colors. I really love this Olympic one, gold, silver, bronze, in celebration of the Olympics with gold cleats.
And will the tour staff be wearing that at the Olympics?
Anyone playing in the Olympics that isn't already tied to another contract for their country, potentially for a shoe, would be in that shoe.
So we'll probably see Sergio in that, probably, for sure.
I would bet on that for sure.
All right, so let's move. We're moving right here on the wall here as we're here on the floor. The 63rd PGA Merchandise Show. I think it's like my 10th or 11th show, and we're moving forward here, and this is the power and with the Boost technology. So walk us through this show, maybe the difference from moving 360 to here.
Well, 360 is full-length Boost, so it's all the way forward in the shoe. The Adi Power update, the Adi Power 2, like the 2015 version, same platform. Boost in the heel, a nice bounce foam in front of that. So it's still very comfortable. If you love the fit of the 2015 Boost shoe that we offered, the Adi Power Boost, it's basically going to fit the same. What's nice is it offers a little bit of a lower price point. It's a little bolder. It's got a lot of forefoot support, so it's a little bit more athletic, a little higher off the ground, but really good cushioning. And, of course, you have grip more technology. And this is something a lot of people love because it offers the comfort of a spikeless shoe, but you feel like when you're swinging that you get the grip of a cleated shoe.
Right.
So that's something that a lot of tour players have adopted, and it's worked well for us.
And if you're a guy like me who once in a while doesn't want to wear a different pair of shoes from the house to the golf course what, or even to the lawn afterwards for a drink, that looks more like a shoe that you can kind of just go with. Honey, I'm gone in the shorts. You got the shoe on, and you're not doing a bunch of shoe changes potentially with the grip more versus the spike technology that's on the 360.
Absolutely. We try to offer shoes for everyone. The 360 has replaceable cleats. You can always keep the grip premium. Full-length Boost, a leather upper. This is a microfiber upper, a little bit lighter, got grip more, two different price points, two different looks. But again, you get Boost technology in a different way in both, and Boost is going to continue to be a big part of our story.
All right, and then finally, as we continue down the wall, and this is a shoe that I had no idea was out this year, and I'm looking at it, and it's the Pure shoe, Adidas Pure. It is a classic-looking golf shoe. I'm telling our listeners right now, when they see this shoe for the first time, it is just a stunning classic, almost in a way what a golf shoe, when you think of one in your head and from a traditionalist standpoint, this is just a beautiful, beautiful golf shoe. But I'm sure, like most Adidas product, it looks like that on the outside, but there's probably a ton going in under the hood, so to speak.
Well, a lot of people think of Adidas, they think athletic shoes, and of course, we have a lot of athletic shoes. We're an athletic company, but we can make a beautiful, traditional-looking golf shoe, but still give the golfer the performance that they would expect from Adidas Golf. This shoe is gorgeous. You said it yourself. This is built on a new last. We actually flew to Japan and worked with a Japanese craftsman. He hand-sanded the shape for this shoe. It's got a lower ceiling. It's a little wider in the forefoot, so it accommodates a little wider foot, and it looks more like a dress shoe profile. It's really close to the ground. Now, you get closer to it, you start to see some of the technology. It's got a carbon fiber chassis in the back, so It's really stable and it cups your foot in. It's got a thin TPU outsole. We do poured PU foam in the heel that you can see through the TPU. It's got asymmetrical cleat setup for more grip on the lateral side. I mean, this thing's got a lot of technology, but it's also got hand-finished leathers. It's really rich. Leather lining. It comes with a shoe bag. It's basically a modern classic in our opinion. First glance, a beautiful traditional looking shoe, but when you put it on, you realize it's got a lot of technology.
It looks absolutely fantastic. It's going to be really popular with the tour guys over the age of 40, I'm guessing, as well on this one.
It's really popular with a lot of people. In fact, we met with some teams like UCLA in the U.S., and we found out that some younger players even still like this traditional, more traditional look. So I think that there's an audience for this for sure, and we also have a teaching version of it, so that staff guy can wear that as well. So
absolutely beautiful. A gorgeous looking shoe. I'm all over the all whites, right, which is rare for Canadians, because we have a very short window when we can wear the all whites, right? Yeah, but I'm an all white guy. So, Mason, thanks so much for doing this as always, and great product for 26. It's going to be awesome. Can't wait to get it on and get on the golf course.
All right, appreciate your time. Thanks, Mark.
And that is Mark Sakina with Mason Dennison from Adidas Footwear. When we come back, by the way, we say goodbye across the network and continue on selected local stations,
yeah,
including
I'll do it later then.
TSN 1050 Toronto and TSN 1150 Hamilton. To the rest, thanks for joining us, and to those that stay with us, enjoy the next 30 minutes.
This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit WeatherTech.ca. Thank you to our national audience for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For show archives, blogs, interviews, and TV schedule, visit us online at GolfTalkCanada.ca. We'll return after this with more of Golf Talk Canada. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment brought to you by Frechette Lawn Care, keeping your lawn healthy and green for over 45 years. Visit FrechetteLawnCare.com or call us today for a free analysis and quote. Here are your hosts, Mark Sakino and Jim Taddy.
Welcome back, bonus half hour, and we're talking about the Toronto Golf Show, the website TorontoGolfShow.com, Canada's largest golf show, February 19th to 21st at the International Centre. General Manager and Director of the Golf Show is Lars Melander. Lars, welcome. How are you today? Where is Lars? Okay, no Lars. Hello, Lars. I don't know what's going on there. BK, see if you can rustle them up. A bit of a technical issue. So coming up in the segment after this, we'll be going back down to Orlando, Florida, where Mark Sakino is standing by at the PGA Merchandise Show. And we'll be dealing with, of course, the golf show, the Toronto Golf Show at the International Center. And boy, does time fly. So a couple of weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, we'll be on location at the International Show. And obviously, this is the one gathering spot for us in the winter months as we sort of get set for what's going on there. In the meantime, you know what I can do is go back to the Farmers Insurance Open and do a leaderboard update. Gary Woodland has the lead at 9-under, tied with Choi, and Dustin Johnson with a 6-under yesterday is at 8-under. Lars is with us now. Lars, welcome. How are you?
Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. I'm down in sunny Orlando.
Oh, really? You're in Orlando, too. It's getting crowded down there. So you were at the PGA Merchandise Show, of course.
Yeah, I came down to have a look at it, and it's quite the show.
So tell us, pump the tires on the Toronto Golf Show.
Sure. Well, I guess the most important thing everyone looks forward to is the 5,000 free rounds of golf that we give away. We have a tremendous lineup every morning, and it's back, and we're pretty excited about that. We also have the demo range back again with six manufacturers, so you can try their new equipment. And again, the $10,000 hole-in-one challenge is back. We have an actual par 3 right there where you can hit a wedge, and that's pretty cool. And we've got the long drive championship back again. And we've got almost 200 golf courses and resorts from all over North America.
That 5,000 free round giveaway, could you map that out for us? That's pretty intriguing stuff.
Yeah, we have first come, first serve each day. We split it into three, and we generally get upwards of 1,500 people in the morning lined up, and and they can go and choose their round from a variety of courses around the GTA.
In terms of keeping this thing fresh, I mean, how do you do that?
Well, one thing that we've got new this year is we've got a giant auction each day. I think it's at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, where some of those golf courses you can never play in Toronto, we're auctioning off twosomes and foursomes.
Okay, and in terms of, normally at this thing there are several high-profile guests. Who do you have lined up?
Well, we have Martin Chuck, who was down here at the Orlando show. He's from Phoenix, but he's actually came up through the National Golf Club with George Knutson. He's a tremendous teacher. And then we have a new chap this year named Robert Bernard. Now, Robert Bernard is Canadian, but he's taught in over 30 countries in the world. Tremendous, tremendous. And he guarantees you're going to save 5 strokes on your game.
Well, that's a great guarantee. What's the most popular thing that you have in this? What draws the biggest crowd when you go to this?
Well, I think the demo range is for sure. Everyone likes to see the new equipment. And we have Ping, we have Cobra, and we have Wilson, we have Mizuno, we have Tour Edge, and there's more hopefully coming yet. And I think that our show this year is going to be the largest retail event. If you're looking for golf equipment, this is the show to come. We have 5 major retailers there with all kinds of golf equipment on sale.
Yeah, certainly, third week of February, people are starting to get itchy, aren't they?
Yeah, for sure. It's only a month till spring when that show comes on, and, most golfers are itching to get out there and hit some shots.
Lars, thanks for stopping by. Appreciate it.
Thank you. From Orlando, take care.
You too. Thanks. Enjoy the sun. Lars Melander, the general manager and director of the Toronto Golf Show, February 19th to 21st, International Center, torontogolfshow.com is the website, and it's all mapped out there. BK, jump in here. We have a contest, right?
Yes, we do. Okay, so we have 2 passes to give away. First person to email or tweet us the correct answer, and I'm going to give out the question, but first, tweet us at Golf Talk Canada or email us at golftalkcanada@gmail.com. So here's your question. Who was the last Canadian to win on the PGA Tour? Be the first one to tweet us or email us, and you got 2 passes.
Am I eligible?
Not today, sir.
I think the answer was no guy. All right. Okay. So say that again, just to repeat it.
No worries. We need to know who was the last Canadian to win on the PGA Tour. So be the first to tweet us at Golf Talk Canada or email us at golftalkcanada@gmail.com.
All right. And 2 passes to give away for the Toronto Golf Show. Up next, Mark Sacchino returns from Orlando. Stay with us.
The Golf Talk Canada Getaway, presented by Golf Away Tours.
Hey there, it's Matthew McKay from Golf Away Tours, your golf travel specialist. It looks like it's going to be a banner year for golf travel to Ireland. It seems the fact that the Canadian dollar has held fairly strong against the euro is making Ireland an appealing option from a value point of view. Royal Portrush being named the host course for the 2019 Open Championship has likely helped as well. And in addition, Royal County Down was just named the #1 course in the world by Golf Digest. Irish golf tourism is riding a wave of confidence, and for good reason. Above all else, having been there numerous times myself, it's simply an amazing place to play golf. Now, the downside to this attention is that tee times are getting harder to get. If you're thinking of playing golf in Ireland sometime this year, you'd best get started with planning now and get your buddies committed, lest you miss out on those coveted tee times at the high-demand Irish courses. At the very least, just get in touch with us here at golfawaytours.com, and we can help you get the ball rolling by giving you an idea of the best ways to experience Irish golf. Stop dreaming about it and make it happen. You won't regret it. Golf Away Tours. We take you around the world to play the game you love.
This has been your Golf Talk Canada Getaway, presented by Golf Away Tours. Visit golfawaytours.com to book your customized golf experience.
This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, was brought to you by Frechette Lawn Care, keeping your lawn healthy and green for over 45 years. Visit FrechetteLawnCare.com or call us today for a free analysis and quote. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment brought to you by Cedar Brae Golf Club, private golf located in Toronto's scenic Rouge Valley. Discover why now is the right time to join at cedarbraegolf.com. Here are your hosts, Mark Zacchino and Jim Taddy.
Welcome back. Final segment, show one, season six. I like that new music, Marco. It's like we're running down the fairway.
Yeah. It's exhausting, Jim. I love it. But yes, a whole new imaging, everything. I guess we needed a reboot, a refresh. I don't know. I sure feel like I need one right now. But I got a busy day ahead of me. First of all, Peter Winstanley, you are our winner. First person to tweet us the correct answer. He hit us up at Golf Talk Canada with Nick Taylor, last player to win for Canada on the PGA Tour. He gets two passes in the Toronto Golf Show. And I today have a very busy day here in Orlando, Jim. Yes, the show is officially over for yours truly, but the fun never stops, okay? one of our newer sponsors, WeatherTech, is a big sponsor of the 24 Hours of Daytona. In fact, they're a sponsor of the entire series that I'm going to see today. So I'm making the hike from Orlando, going over to see our friends at WeatherTech, our sponsors of WeatherTech, watch a bit of this 24 Hours of Daytona race. Then I'm making my way back to Orlando, because you know I am a huge 80s rock fan.
Yeah.
Tonight I'm seeing Styx with Larry Gowan, Canada's Larry Gowan, as lead singer, open for Def Leppard. So a little Def Leppard for yours truly tonight, and lots of fun.
And see if they can do some music for the show.
This segment brought to you by Def Leppard.
Let's go back to the leaderboard, the Farmers Insurance. I was talking about this earlier. Gary Woodland leads at 9-under, tied with Choi. Dustin Johnson had a sizzling round yesterday, 6-under 66 at 8-under. Martin Laird at 7-under. Scott Brown, Horschel at 7-under. And some big names, obviously, missing the cut, guys that we talked about earlier, including Phil Mickelson, Justin Rose, and I think, Ricky Fowler missed the cut, too.
Yeah, and Jason Day.
Yeah, he had the flu, though.
Yeah. Yes, monster names missing the cut. I think I'm more surprised at the names missing the cut as to who's near or at the top of this leaderboard. Going to be interested, I guess, as always, to see what Dustin Johnson does. Hey, Jim, isn't that always the question mark, right? He's in the hunt. It's the weekend. Gary Woodland went through a big equipment change this offseason and played around with his golf ball, trying to find a golf ball. The spin rates that he wanted that married up with his irons and his driver a little better. So obviously whatever it is he was doing, it seems to be working at 9-under par along with KJ Choi. KJ Choi in the, as Jim Taddy would say, the witness protection program, the where have you been file. KJ Choi tied with him at 9-under par, but lots of golf to go. And we'll see what happens here. Love Torrey Pines. I love the images on television. Hey, Jim, what a beautiful part of the world, La Jolla, California.
Yeah, nice and green. And it's just, it's just fantastic. It rubs salt in the wound for those of us here. I guess to sort of put this in perspective, a year ago, Jason Day won this tournament, but that gave us no hint as the kind of year he was going to have and how strong he would finish. You tend to look for hints at this time of the year, but I think it's just too early, isn't it?
It's too early, and also, I'll tell you why it's too early with Jason Day. Obviously him and his wife had a child in the off season. He walked completely away from the game of golf. He didn't play for 3 months. And if you look at the other big names in the world, Fowler, Spieth, McIlroy, all they did was play. Rory won the race to Dubai in the final term of the year on the European Tour. He's been playing over in the desert. He played in Abu Dhabi with Spieth and Fowler. So the other big names in the game have kept the pedal down. We already commented on what Jordan Spieth's schedule looked like. And he's in Singapore, three off the lead today, and they have one round to go there. He's three off the lead in Singapore. So everybody else kept playing. Jason Day, other priorities, moved to the top of the food chain in his life, and he took some real time off. So it's going to take Jason Day some time to knock the rust off. So let's wait until we get to the Florida swing. And if we're somewhere in that Florida swing and we have not seen some good golf by Jason Day, maybe we start to get a little concerned. But I think it's going to take a good two or three tournaments for him to get back into the swing of things, so to speak.
Yeah, I think what he defined last year was the groove that he is capable of getting into. Whether or not that happens early or late, it doesn't really matter. You know that it will happen at some point.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's the difference between, for me, Jason Day. When people ask me the difference between Jason Day, Rory McIlroy, and Jordan Spieth, it's kind of very similar to what you just said there. It's they catch a wave, and they catch a groove, and they ride it, and hopefully they're riding it, you know, during major season. And it's got to do, I think, with the fact of their explosiveness. Jason Day and Rory McIlroy are so explosive, and when they ride these waves, they can dominate tournaments, and they can dominate fields. But they can also go and catch the other wave. We've seen that with Rory. I don't think we're going to see that wave ever come again to that extreme with Rory, but they're going to go through more ruts in a schedule than what a guy like Jordan Spieth is. And I think that Jordan Spieth's golf swing is just so simplistic, and I think he's just so calm between the ears, and he's the best putter in the world, that those three things will keep him the most consistent out of all of them. He's always going to be around. He is just a brilliant plotter. And when he's plotting, he can still win. And when he has his A-plus game, he shoots 30 under and runs you over. So I truly believe that Jordan Spieth is the closest thing we've seen to Tiger when it comes to being able to beat the rest of the field when you don't have your best, but you're going to outthink them, and you're going to outwill them, and you're going to gut it in the hole.
Let's go back to Jason Duffner and his impressive win at the Career Builder Challenge last week. And he had also won the Franklin Templeton Shootout with Snedeker. Anything that was said about him was certainly positive on Sunday in terms of him getting his game back in shape. Maybe this is a sort of comeback year for him.
It'd be nice to see. And you know, it's kind of interesting because I was guest hosting Golf Talk America this week down for the PGA show. And, you know, the conversation came up there that, you know, who's going to be that guy? And a lot of people were pointing to Matt Kuchar. Waiting for Matt Kuchar to break out of this slump. And if Jason Duffner hadn't won the previous week, I got a feel that, you know, he would be in the list. I think you would talk about the names Matt Kuchar, Keegan Bradley, Jason Duffner. They may have been the top three names on that list. And Duffner, now let's see what he can do with this. Like, does this take the monkey off his back now and put him in a frame of mind that, you know, he's going to be able to compete week in and week out and maybe have a multiple win season? I don't know. Is he that kind of player in today's game against all these young, explosive guys? But I am shocked at those other two names as well, Jim. I'll throw it back to you. Out of Kuchar, Keegan, you know, who should be winning? Who's going to break the slump? Mickelson. Are we going to get one of these veterans back in the winner's circle?
Kuchar's probably more frustrating for than anybody for me, just because he was Mr. Consistency before.
I would agree with you 1,000%. You know, the last thing you'd ever call Phil Mickelson is consistent.
Yeah.
Keegan Bradley looks like he's one swing away from, you know, being in a straitjacket, right? Like, he's just so many, you know, headworms with Keegan, and, you know, great ball striker. And when he gets it going, we know what he can do. But you're right, Captain Consistency, Captain Calm, Matt Kuchar. Where is he right now? I don't know where he is, and sooner or later he's got to snap out of this too.
Canadians at the Farmers, Adam Hadwin, who faded at the worst time last week, is at 3 under T27. So that's a pretty competitive tournament for him. I'm just dialing down. Graham Dillette is at 1 under T57, and that is the extent of Canadians making the cut. You'd like to see Graham Dillette inch up that leaderboard, but, you know, if Adam Hadwin is going to be a consistent force, you'd like to see that too, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you very much would. And Nick Taylor also in this one, who shot 5 over, missed the cut, Jim. He'd have to go way down the leaderboard to find Nick Taylor.
Yeah.
You know, this is a big year for Canadians because we are defending champions of the gold medal.
Yes.
At the Olympics, 1904, we are defending champions. And, you know, I kind of believe that David Hearn has that one spot kind of locked up. But that second spot is really up for grabs. Who's going to be that guy? I spoke to Nick Taylor just before Christmas. Nick Taylor says his goal is still to be at the Olympics. Graham Dillette, happy to be back playing on the PGA Tour again. Is he going to stay healthy? Are we going to see the best that Graham Dillette has? Is he going to be healthy enough to stay healthy enough to show us that? I don't know. So a lot of Canadian stories in terms of, I guess, a march towards Rio in a way. Not too sure who those guys are going to be just yet. So all these starts are very important. So when you start missing cuts this time of year, you start putting yourself behind the eight ball,
Marco,
when it comes to the Olympics.
We're going
to
get pressed for time, so give us the extra line, please.
Great to be back for season six. Great, Jim, to talk to you. Missed you over the holidays. Great to be talking to you on a Saturday morning again. So thank you so much for listening. Remember, first good decision on the golf course, it always starts in the closet.
Yes, guy.
This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, was brought to you by Cedar Brae Golf Club, private golf located in Toronto's scenic Rouge Valley. Discover why now is the right time to join at cedarbraegolf.com. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For show archives, blogs, interviews, and TV schedule, visit us online at golftalkcanada.ca.